Okay. Good evening. This is a special meeting of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee. It is August 19th, Monday at 5:38 Pacific, 8:38 Eastern Time. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm KPFA listener rep and the chair of this committee. We're going to start off by having our secretary, R. Paul Martin of WBAI, call the roll. R. Paul, if you would.
Okay. Jim Boyd.
Here.
John Cromshell. Marcus Jeter. R. Paul Martin here. Tony Norman.
Present.
Michael Novick.
Present.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Manege Saba. Raul Salvador.
Here.
Richard Giselle.
Here.
Barbara Wimperman. Okay, we have seven. That's quorum.
Okay, and who just joined us?
Barbara. Sorry.
Hi, Barbara, welcome.
And in a few minutes, I will have to leave for a few minutes and take another call, but I'll be back.
Okay. Paul, can you note that Barbara joined us for the record?
Have you started yet?
Okay.
Or?
We just started. We called the roll like 5 seconds ago.
It's fine. Okay.
Okay, so the draft agenda for this meeting is pretty simple. There's four items on it. Roll call, approve the agenda, which we're now doing, approving any outstanding minutes, and I don't believe that we actually have any to approve, and start our review of the KPFK budget. The only item that I would add is perhaps an item five, which is if we don't complete the KPFK budget, which I think is possible, we may need to schedule an additional meeting to do so.
I thought I got minutes from ARPAL for August 13th.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Then we will approve those at slot three on the agenda. So does anyone have any further modifications?
Something's beeping in the background. I'm not sure what that is. Anyone else hear it?
Yes, I hear it.
Okay, someone is making a beeping noise.
Someone's making a secret recording.
When you log on, the thing says they're making a recording, but they've done that all the time. It's never beeped.
Yeah, well, there's not much point to making a secret recording. The whole thing is streamed. So, I mean, what would you be accomplishing?
I would suggest we ignore it. It might just be the telephone company, something bleeding in.
Sure, can you?
The NSA, you guys.
Okay. Okay, let's take a second. Everybody, mute your phones and see if that stops it. Okay, just take a moment and mute. Okay, the noise is still there. So our option is to disconnect the call and recall in, and then we'll have to get put on the stream again, or we can try to outlast the noise. What do you guys want to do?
What noise?
Who is not hearing it, really?
I can hear it.
Oh, now I'm hearing.
There's a ringing phone noise in the background with little beeps.
That sounds like a phone ringing somewhere.
I'm thinking we can probably outlast it because ringing phones stop ringing eventually. But obviously, it's going to grate. It goes on forever.
Matt,
can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
That's right.
I moved it.
I hear the noise, yes.
I moved. We approved the agenda.
Who just moved that?
Richard.
This is kind of frustrating, noise-wise. Aha! No, that didn't work. I thought maybe somebody left and that fixed the noise. No such luck.
I would vote to try to, drop off and call back and see if it's still there. I find it very aggravating.
Yeah. Brian, are you still with us for streaming? Okay, so that will require getting the streamer back on the line, which is a little frustrating. So let's hang up, take a 5-minute break. I will try to get the streaming dealt with, and then call back into this line. Okay?
Okay.
5 minutes. Okay. All right. Apologies for that brief interruption. We are now resuming the National Finance Committee call. Just to reiterate, it is Monday, August 19th. It's approximately 5:46 p.m. Eastern and 8:46 p.m. I'm sorry, 5:46 p.m. Pacific, 8:46 p.m. Eastern. This meeting previously established a quorum, so we're going to pick up where we left off, which was the approval of the agenda. Richard Uzel had moved its approval as amended, I gather. Right, Richard?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any objections to the approval of the agenda as amended?
I'm sorry, can you remind me of the amendment?
The amendment was to add an item 5 that if we didn't finish the KPFK budget tonight, that we would schedule another meeting to continue working on it. That's all. It was pretty uneventful as amendments go. Okay. Are there any objections to the approval of the agenda as amended? Okay, so approved. That takes us to the minutes of August 13th, which I guess we can approve tonight. Thank you for getting them done so fast, R. Paul. Is there anyone who would like to either move for their approval or modify them in some way? Okay. Hearing nobody respond, I will move for their approval. Are there any objections to approving the minutes? Okay, the minutes are so approved. So that brings us to starting the review of the KPFK budget. We have received the document some time ago. It is LSB approved. We certainly received some feedback to the Finance Committee, which I don't know if people have had a chance to read and review. We'll try to go over some of that and at least look at the concerns raised. And I don't know whether we'll be able to get through the whole thing or not, but we'll at least try to hear from the folks who have come to speak to us about it who are here and start looking at some of the line items on both sides of the ledger. So, generally what we do, just to sort of establish what the process is, because I know some people haven't been through this too many times on the Finance Committee, is we hear from, in order, the station general manager, if they've joined us. Bernard, are you here or are you not here?
Yep, yes, I'm here.
You are, great. Okay. Then we will hear from the LSB treasurer, which in this case is Michael Novick. Then we'll hear from the PNB Finance Committee member, if they're here, which is John Crumshow. At that point, we'll move into what you would call, and basically what we're asking all of you to do is just sort of tell us whatever you think that we should know about the thinking that went into this budget, what you would draw our attention to within the document, any concerns that you want to address ahead of time. But it's really up to you, but we do ask you to keep your comments in the, 10 minutes range. Don't go beyond that. Then we'll do questions. Yeah, then we'll do questions and answers from the committee. And we try to do informational questions first, as in, I don't understand what this line item means. Please explain it to me. And then we will do a temperature check around the budget, which will involve, here's what I think about this, or here's what I'm concerned about. And at that point, hopefully we'll move towards a decision, or we will run out of time, one or the other. But we'll at least get part of the way through the process. Echo is killing me, but anyway. So let's start with the GM, who has joined us.
Madam Chair?
And hear what he has to say. Yes, Paul.
Can you hear me?
Did we approve the agenda or something?
Yes, we did.
Okay, because I came, you said 5 minutes, so I went for 5 minutes and I came back. Everybody else didn't take it literally. Okay.
I thought it would take a while to track down Brian to restream, and actually it didn't. Yes, Richard moved to approve the agenda as amended. There were no objections. Then I moved to approve the minutes of August 13th with no changes, and there were no objections. Okay?
And who else is joining us here?
Well, the roll call, the roll call at the beginning of the meeting still stands. We didn't adjourn the meeting, so.
No, I mean, is there someone who isn't a member here also joining us?
Bernard Duncan is here.
Okay, Bernard Duncan, KPFKGM.
He is KPFKGM. That is the only individual that I know of on the call.
Hello.
Raul?
Yes.
Is that you?
Yes. No.
Welcome.
No, I was here.
Welcome. Okay.
Who just joined us?
Who just?
Barbara.
Oh, hi, Barbara.
So are we?
Okay.
Aiming yet, or?
It's fine. It's fine. So I hope that the budget review process at this point is reasonably clear to everybody. I think so. So let's start by hearing what the KPFKGM has to say, and then we'll sort of move through the next steps. Bernard?
Hello. Okay. You've seen the budget. Michael sent that round to everybody. Our LSB approved it last week, and I think it's a realistic and reasonable budget, and I would just draw your attention to the fact that I have increased listener revenue slightly, and there are a bunch of things that we're going to put in place to make that happen. And in fact, I draw that from the fact that our fund drives in the second half of this year particularly have exceeded their goals, the last one to the tune of almost $200,000. So I think that listener revenue amount is significantly doable, and I think that I base that on the fund drive for successes, which in some issues I believe are probably due to the fact that our signal being almost twice as big as it was this time last year, now that we have two working solid-state transmitters. So I think we're probably reaching more people. The Apatrons are very difficult to build anything on because the level of audience is so relatively small, and any movements in there can be quite dramatic but don't really mean a lot to us. Anecdotally, too, some of the people who are processing our donor information tell me that they are hearing more new names or writing more new names into the Memsys database than they have in living memory. So I think we're probably picking up some new audience. I think what I want to do in the year ahead is cash in on what we predict to be a moderate economic upturn. I want to establish some other ways of generating listener revenue too, including a greater use of direct mail and getting some of our volunteers in to do call-outs for members who have pledged but haven't fulfilled, to lift that fulfillment rate above the 82% that we base our fulfillment on. So there's that. Also, our online donations have gone up quite a bit in this last year, and we are about to enter into an agreement across the foundation with a car donation company that will mean we'll probably get between 5 and 10% more of a yield on the net that the cars are sold for than we have before. Also going to encourage some sustainer programs and start running promotions on the air about bequests and actually telling people to put us in their will. So there's, I actually want to do some more stuff to do with off fund drive pitching, so that during the year, in general, we get our programmers on air to just remind people that they can pledge any time online and make sure that their membership is current. Going ahead in the next year, I also want to reduce premium costs, and I think that we have to look at cold, hard facts about KPFK is that it does pay too much for premiums, and we really need to get that under control and bring that down. And what I'm aiming to do with this budget looking ahead is to actually end with a very modest surplus, but actually set it up so that over the next 3 to 4 years particularly, we can build a reserve that will help us stop experiencing these cash flow issues that we currently have due to not having CPB funding. As I say, I think the listener revenue is doable. I've reduced staffing costs and going ahead into the new year, so we will be a little bit leaner there. I think we can do that without too much pain at the station. And I think those are the key issues that I want to bring to people's attention before they start to discuss it.
Okay, thank you. Are you free to hang around a little bit for the question and answer part, or?
Within reason, yes.
Okay. Well, let's see how it goes.
I want to eat at some stage tonight.
I notice you're going. Okay. Well, we'll see how it goes. Okay. So with that, we're going to turn to the opening statements by the LSB treasurer, Michael Novick.
Okay, so I think a lot of the explanation is there. There was a document that was sent in by Ken Kaufman, the chair of our finance committee, who was previously treasurer but is no longer. And, you know, she had a motion to not approve the budget until it was brought into line with the actuals. That was not, it was defeated. That substitute motion was defeated, and then we voted as an LSB, I think, by a 2-1 margin to approve this budget with a slight amendment. And I sent around, I assume people got it, just a quick response on the question of the actuals. The whole point of this budget is it's going to deviate from certain actuals because we're trying to make some changes. So I'm not sure exactly what Ms. Kaufman is thinking, but for example, there's an increase in the money allocated for the website because they're trying to improve the interactivity and the capability of the website to generate more income and engage the listeners. There's an increase in the funding for mailings because they're trying to have more targeted mailings to bring back. We have what's called a film club. It's a kind of premium membership where people pay more and get to see a certain number of movies during the year. So we're trying to the mailing to the people who had that and lapsed, and other targeted mailings. I can't remember the other one that Kim mentioned off the top of my head, but, it deviates in two directions. It deviates because there was a reduction, a staff reduction being proposed. It has obviously it hasn't happened yet. I think it's a management position and maybe something else that, you know, I don't think we can go into the details of that on an open call because it's a personnel matter, but essentially the budget is built around the idea of about $140,000 in savings on that. And, then the premiums. Kim, I know, is involved in the discussions we've had for years on our LSB about bringing down the premium costs, increasing the number of premiums, and it's sort of more program-related and not relying so heavily on expensive high-end premiums that don't actually generate as much realized income for the station. And so this budget attempts to do that. It designates goals to increase the PRA, the radio archive premium. So there's more budgeted for that, and there's less budgeted for Oak premiums overall because they're trying to reduce the load of development expense that generates the listener. So I think those are all justifiable and necessary deviations from the previous actuals because we were spending way too much money on premiums and, I think this is more or less in line with what the National Finance Committee called for last year of a, balanced budget based on getting the premium cuts under control and, reductions in payroll. So, I think it's a reasonable budget, basically. And like I say, 2-1 margin that was adopted by the LSB. Oh, the other issue was the election funding. And again, I introduced a resolution to add some funding for the coming year, similar to what happened with KPSD. On the understanding that the 2012 elections were paid at least in part out of the 2012 fiscal year and some of the 2013, but that some of the 2013 fiscal year allocation for the elections was going to be available for the 2013 elections, even though they're now taking place probably in the 2014 fiscal year, and that we needed to add a little more to cover the fact that the local election supervisors are probably going to spill over based on last year's experience, but from starting late in the extension. So that's why that figure was picked.
Okay. Anything else, Michael?
I don't think so.
Okay, I'm just going to say some stuff here for the benefit of the stream and the benefit of the group, because I don't know if everyone's on top of email. Sometimes you are, sometimes you're not. And, of course, people are listening to the stream. They wouldn't have understood some of that. So the Finance Committee, and as a matter of fact, the whole PNB, is in receipt of a long and lengthy sort of, I guess, minority report is the best way to put it, from the KPFK LSB, including the former LSB treasurer and the local finance committee there, that provided certainly a lot of concerns about the budget. And I don't know how much members of the finance committee have had, how much time they've had to go over all this stuff prior to the meeting. My guess is not that much. So I do think that it's important, because we try to do thorough work around here, that we do pick that document up, look at it, talk about it, and air the concerns that are raised. Some we may find valid, some we may not find valid. That's going to be a fairly lengthy process because of the size of the document, and it may or may not be realistic to get all the way through it tonight. We'll have to see how that goes. But that's what Michael's talking about, and that's part of the work that we'll have to go into arriving at a final recommendation on this budget. So is the PNB rep from KPFK here, John Crumshaw? Russell? Doesn't sound like it. Okay, so with that, I'm going to have some, but not quite yet. Let's go to sort of questions and answers. And the idea with questions and answers is not opinions, but specific questions about the numbers that are in the budget draft, why they're there, and what they mean. So this is informational questions only. We'll do temperature taking later about, I like this budget, I don't like this budget, and why. So I will take a stack for questions. Hopefully there are some. And if people need a second to kind of open documents and take a look at them, feel free.
Tony.
Our poll for second.
Oh, you guys are ready. Good.
Tony.
Anyone besides Tony and our Paul?
Oh, Richard, did you hear me?
I do now.
Did you hear me?
I do now. Yes? Who's that? Raul?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Okay, so we'll start with Tony, and you're all on the stack.
Yeah, first of all, let me thank the people out in L.A. and your work that you placed into this budget. But my question is, sir, how many full-time staff do you have, and how many part-time do you have here? And am I correct in the assumption that you're going to eliminate positions, and what are those?
There are 23 FTEs at the moment. I think we have one part-timer. But in terms of personnel, I don't think this is the place to have that discussion. But the plan is to cut at least one position, probably two.
Okay. Speaking as the chair, just in terms of the protocol, when you're on the stack, ask all of your questions. Then we'll get answers from the GM and or the LSB treasurer or both. And yes, if there's a specific question regarding job functions, that probably would have to go to a closed session. So Tony, at some point, will figure out if you need that question answered in order to formulate an opinion on the budget. And if so, we will have to recess to closed session at some point.
No, I'm good.
Michael, to Trace, you had something I forgot earlier, too. And that was that I have made an allowance for the fact that the CPB funding is likely to be less in the coming year because of that premium value issue.
Good. That's important. Okay. I just think job functions are discrete enough around here that's not quite a conversation we can have on the stream. Okay.
Could
Tony, are you done?
Confirm the FTE number, please.
23.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm done.
Michael, can I just get on to that question for a second? I wanted to point out that there's a slight increase in payroll costs compared to what's projected for the current year. even though there's a reduction in payroll, and that's because of the contractual agreements and also some changes that were made with board ops becoming more permanent and therefore benefit eligible. So there were several, all of that would have resulted in a much larger payroll than what's in this budget without reductions. So,
sure.
Just to explain that.
Tracy, John here. Can you hear me?
Oh, you're here. Good. We're actually going into the question and answer session. Why don't we take the staff that we have, and we'll go to you for your comments on the budget. Is that okay?
Are you talking to me, Tracy?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. I'm here at KTSK, but I can't find Michael. Is he here?
He's on the call.
You can't hear me?
Yes.
Oh, I'm at the station.
Yes.
No, I didn't say I was at the station earlier, but I'm not completely well, and the finance committee meeting was canceled.
I see.
For some
okay.
reason, to stay at the station late in order to take this call at the station and then be at the finance committee, our
okay.
local finance committee. So I just went home. I'm home. Sorry.
Okay. No, that's okay. I'm here, but that's all right. Tracy, we'll go right ahead with whatever you suggested. That sounds good to me.
Okay, terrific. Arpal Martin is next on the staff for question and answer. Arpal, go ahead.
Okay. Just a couple of things. Does this budget that we have in front of us differ from what the KPFK LSB passed, or is it exactly the same thing that they passed?
The budget was passed by the LSB with the amendment of $6,000 to go in the LSB election line. That's the change that's been made, and that's had to be accounted for by reducing some advertising and promotion costs.
Okay, so you're saying that this is what the KPFK LSB passed. Okay. And I'm seeing references to the audited figures in this budget, and how did you get those in there so fast? I mean, as far as I know, the audit is still a draft, and we haven't been sent a copy of it. So these are the audited figures for FY 12 in the Normandy?
No, they're not.
Okay.
That's brought forward from an earlier budget.
Okay, so in the part here where it says FY 2012 audited, I guess we should just cut out the word audited.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Let's see. All right, and your lines 36 and 50, you're projecting on line 36 net income, net loss. You're projecting for 14, basically $4,500 in the black, but we've had we're looking, projecting for FY13 to be $44,000 in the red, and on line 50 surplus deficit, it's the same 45, you know, 46, 69, and you're projecting for FY13 about $169,500 in the red. Okay, so that's quite a difference there. Okay. All right. I mean, I guess at some point we'll be discussing exact detail of some of this, because 46.69 is like an afternoon at a Pacifica station. So I don't know that we all do these things, but we have to be really aware that it's really a toss-up at a zero when you have that low a number for a station that's spending millions. All right, that's it for me.
Okay, you're veering into temperature taking, and we have lots of line item analysis to do first, but I hear you. Okay, the next person on the stack was Richard Uzel. Richard.
Okay, am I there? Yeah. Michael, let me ask you a question. I was reading your letter that you sent this morning, talking about the various things, I guess, that Ms. Kaufman referred to us. In your letter, you talk about those two positions that were mandated to be reduced last year, and I understand sensitivity, and we're not going to talk about any particular one. But does your letter tell me that those mandated two cuts did not happen last year?
Yes, I was in treasurer last year, but I don't believe that there were any cuts made last year. I think there was an earlier attempt to make some cuts that were maybe the general manager would speak to it, but that were not higher management did not accept those particular cuts, and I don't think any other cuts were then made.
Bernard, do you know the answer to that question?
Yeah, Michael's right. I made some proposals last year or earlier, it was probably early last year. To
but the bottom line is that they weren't
staff.
Made.
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay. I think on your first budget that you took to the LSC, your listener total was something like $3.3 billion.
Yep.
And this one is something like $3.1416. Even a difference of $140,000. Now, are you saying that $140,000 is going to be made up by making those personnel cuts that didn't get made last year?
That's the order of the number we're talking about, correct? Yeah.
Okay,
You're talking about an income number, right, Richard? That's the 3.162.
Right.
Fiscal year 2014. Yeah, that's
your
not about. That's not about payroll cuts. That's an anticipated
line item increase
in listener support, based on the fact that the last two fund guys or
okay, that's income. I'm sorry. That's income. Okay. Well.
Yeah.
So you were projecting 3.3, and you cut that back to 3.16. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, that's right.
And why was that reduction made?
Not enough of the Finance Committee agreed with that as an income. I still think it's reasonable, but the Finance Committee did not.
Okay. That's all the question I have right now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's go to Raul, who's next on the stack.
Yeah, I just have a real quick question. I don't see any capital expenditures included in your budget. Last year you had about $125,000 spent. Is that actually spent in 2013?
Yes, that's a new transmitter and a new computer playout system.
Okay. And for you don't anticipate any capital expenditures for 2014?
We've got two pretty much brand new transmitters now, Raul, and everything seems to be working pretty well. I mean, I can't rule it out entirely for the whole year, but I don't think there'll be any major capital expenses.
Okay. And that should be...
Okay, Raul, while I've got you there, what's your sense of capital and depreciation both on an operating budget?
I'm looking at your operating budget.
Yeah.
Although you show a net income of $4,600, but you also included depreciation of about $62,000, which is a non-cash item.
Yeah.
That should give you an allowance of additional $62,000 in cash flow because that's really not an actual expenditure that's going to be spent during the budget year 2014. So you have a pretty much some kind of an allowance there for your other expenditures like, unforeseen and capital expenditure if that happens. So I'm not really very concerned about that at all because as you can see in your spreadsheet, there's an additional, I don't know if anybody pays attention to the second tab next to the budget FY 2014 where you have a cash flow statement and the actual cash surplus is actually $85,000. And that shows a there's a reconciliation of the details of that $86,000, how that was arrived at on the next fab. And that would be, you know, considering the non-cash items, the depreciation, they're making adjustment on what actual cash is being utilized and being spent versus what was being budgeted in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles, GAAP. So there's kind of like a difference between the two. So bear in mind, I think I would urge the committee members to look into that when they are looking into the feasibility of the budget of each of the radio station. When they look at their surplus or deficit that's on the budget, they should add back whatever the depreciation on that to determine if the budget is feasible for that particular radio station. That's just my take.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any comments on that? Okay.
Actually, Michael Lovick, just had one other thing I wanted to share, which is that this budget is based on, I believe, 89 days of on-air fundraising, which is actually a slight reduction. I think that's another place that...
Oh, it's never a bad thing. All right. So at this point, I'm going to have some questions, but I'm going to wait till my computer cooperates. Let's go to John Crumshaw, who is the PNB rep to the Finance Committee for KPFK. And John, you have up to 10 minutes to just tell us anything about this budget that you would like us to know or pay attention to. John, are you there?
You're right, I was muted. I am trying to get cooperation from the computer here at the station, too, and so I'm not in a position yet to comment. So I will leave it for you, Tracy.
Oh, that was fast. And I am having an uncooperative laptop at the moment, which is making this difficult.
Mr. Richard, I'll ask another question.
Good. Go for it.
Okay. This is for Bernard, I guess.
Yeah.
I started touching on it before, but y'all are claiming that you're going to make that personnel cut that didn't happen last year. Are you budgeting in that full amount of those two positions into this budget?
Are they still there? Is that what you're saying?
Are you taking them out of there?
Yes.
Well, if you were to lay them off at the first of the year, wouldn't there be pay out for the next 6 months or something like that after the? So there needs to be something budgeted for those two people.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can get them out the door.
Well, not if it's by attrition.
Not what?
It's by attrition.
Okay.
Bernard, I don't think he's asking about a severance. I think he's asking the period of time that they would still be working.
Oh, I see. No,
in the fiscal year.
Yeah, that's not factored in there. That would have to be done. You're right.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's get this opened up. All right. So I am waiting for my computer to behave, which it will soon. All right, so here's the revised copy of the budget. Attached is a revised copy. There we go. Okay.
Hey, Tracy, can I ask a few questions?
Good, because I need some more time. Go for it.
Okay. I'm just curious if comparing 2015 to 2014.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up.
ways that we're seeing that between 15 to 14, but there would be that much.
This is not, I can't make out what you're saying.
Well,
no,
it, like
it's
every
not
other
too good.
Word has a beep in it or a blank.
Okay.
It's like you're having interference there, Jim.
Okay. Call back.
Okay, so let's give Jim a moment to hang up and call back. Let's give me a minute to have my computer stop freaking out, which it will in just a second. And we can all breathe. Okay, there we go. Okay, so this will take a minute to load, and Jim will call us back, and then we'll continue with the Q&A. At that point, I think probably the logical thing is for people to sort of temperature take a bit and talk about their level of comfort with what's been presented, concerns they have, and we will also pull out the, I guess, minority report from the LSB and go over it in some detail and see where that gets us to. Jim, are you back? Okay, another minute. Bernard, if you could hang around for Jim's questions and maybe my questions, and then at that point, if you need to take off, understood, it'll maybe 10, 15 more minutes. Of course,
yes,
you're welcome to stay for all the temperature taking, but since
thank
you said...
Thank you, kind offer.
Yeah. I think we can probably manage with Michael and John for the sort of for the rest of it. Jim? Okay, well, it'll be another minute. Geesh, I'm so sorry. I have the world's worst internet connection at the moment. So everything is slow. Is there anyone else who has a second round question while we're waiting for Jim and my little green bar to make it all the way across my computer? Okay.
This is Richard. Another question.
Go for it. Yeah, go for it.
Bernard, there's been a lot of discussion about the cost of y'all's premium being very high. I've got a figure here that just to date, you're at $440,000 and that puts you about $187,000 or $188,000 above your budget. Is that true?
Which one are you talking about? Which budget?
FY13.
That's actually not my budget. The PNB put that, the NSC put that together. And it was unrealistic at the start.
I know, but I'm saying that I'm not confusing anybody. I'm just is that correct that you're $188,000 over your budget for premiums at this point?
I'd have to have a look at the latest financials, but it will be somewhere in that range, yeah.
Where is that on the budget for next year? Could you tell me?
Premiums.
I'm slow at this.
It'll be under development. Let me have a look. Development expenses.
Yeah, there's two categories for premiums. It's under development expenses.
133.
And one is for premiums from the Pacifica Archives, internal premiums. The other is for external premiums from other sources. It's the external premiums that are expensive.
Line 134 and line 133.
Okay.
Tracy Johnson, the staff.
You're showing that you're telling that it's going down from this year. You've reduced your budget by $30,000 or something like that from the 13 budget. If you're $188,000 above the budget now, and you reduce it by another 30, that'd be $210,000 that you're not making up. How does that work?
Well, that depends on how realistic the budget was, I think. And in my view, it never was.
But you're using those budget numbers.
That's because what I want to do is, as I said at the beginning of this call, significantly reduce the cost of premiums. For example, we won't be going anywhere near something like that water filter that worked for both us and New York, because the ratio of the pledge level is not high enough. So we need to stop that, and that was a big ticket item for us. And I intend to reduce those significantly. And in many cases nowadays, we are getting premiums that are delivered as digital downloads via email, so the shipping goes down as well. And those things cost us either nothing or 10% of what we make on them.
When was your last fund drive?
We're in a fund drive now. Our last one was in across May, June.
Are you using those premiums that you say you're not going to use now? Are you using them today?
We're not. We've already stopped using those big ticket ones.
You have stopped?
Yeah. The last time we offered them was in May, and in fact, out of 6,000, more than 6,000 pledges made during that drive, only 270 of those were for the big ticket item. So I started limiting it back then, and we've stopped it now.
How much are you coming off of the big ticket item?
I said again, please.
How much money are you coming off of there on the big ticket item? You said you're bringing those down or not using them anymore.
Yeah. Yes, the return is only it's between 50% and 60% to us, and we need that to be 90%.
Right. Yeah. But I'm saying, how much on your budget are you reducing the premium for those expensive premiums?
That's probably that would be in the realm of more than 100,000.
Yeah, that would be fabulous. But actually, yeah, I could just look at them.
Sounds like you're. Sounds like they're
active. Can you hear me?
Just barely.
Yeah, I can. Let's let Richard finish with his questioning, then we'll go to you, then we'll go to me. That's the order.
I defer to you. I sound like you were coming on. I'm still thinking, scratching my head about those numbers. Okay.
Yeah, no, head scratching is fine. And as I said, well, it looks like we're going to head toward a line-by-line review on this at some point. But let's just get all the questions that we have to Bernard while we have him. Okay, John, you're next.
John?
Yes, John.
Okay. What I noticed was this, Bernard, that you mentioned that this was not your budget. I know that you've made a statement before that the budget that was set forth by the National Finance Committee was not your budget. But as I understand it, it was because budget hadn't been approved by the LSB and therefore was formed by the National Finance Committee. If I understand that correctly, Trace, does that not then become your budget? Can you explain how you look at it as not being your budget?
Well, it becomes the station's budget, and I have to do my best to manage it within those means. All I was saying was I didn't draft it.
And in the drafts, when we go to meetings, I note that there are great differences between what you will project as a budget and what Kim Coughlin, when she was treasurer and now as finance committee chair, projects. So what do we make of that?
I think it's what I'm proposing is perfectly realistic.
And how would you address?
I manage this on a daily basis.
How would you have the National Finance Committee look at what you are submitting compared with the questions that Ms. Kaufman has submitted to all of us? What would your
I would simply
I would simply tell you that I'm the one who has to manage this on a daily basis and
okay,
pay bills.
Okay, listen.
Guys,
I think we're getting a little bit into the temperature taking part, and also it's always good to remember this is the station's budget. Nobody owns the budget. What we're trying to do is come up with the best budget for the station. There's no my budget versus someone else's budget. It's the budget. In terms of the content that Kim sent, it's extensive, and I think that we need to deal with it item by item and not talk about it in the abstract, because that turns into a personality conversation instead of a numbers conversation. And we're just trying to find out what the most sound numbers are.
Tracy, the reason
do you have anything to contribute regarding specific numbers in the budget?
I am still at this same point, which is that Bernard said that he will be leaving, and I at least wanted to give him an opportunity to weigh in on those issues, since we will be talking about them in his absence. So that's the reason that I brought that up. Otherwise, I have no specific questions. But I thought it's important for him to weigh in on subjects that we are going to be talking about and that someone else sent to us.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Well, let me ask a couple of questions about some numbers, and then perhaps we'll sort of bring the feedback that we've received onto the table. I'm going to do some line item questions. Bernard, is it better for you to do them one by one or just to give you a list? What do you prefer?
No, you might as well go through them line by line.
Okay. Let me try to do that. So we know there's a $55,000 increase in listener support being predicted, and I've taken a look at the assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
And the assumptions are fairly generous. $2 million fund drives and a $900,000 fund drive and two $500,000 fund drives, which is, you know, certainly more fundraising capacity than anybody else in the network comes close to. So I guess the question that I have for you is on that number.
Mm-hmm.
Is considering that that's the sort of, you know, maximal fund drive capacity. What happens if the fund drives come up a bit short? Are you planning to add more fund drive days, to cut expenses? And answer this one independently, because it's not really a line item. It's just I kind of feel like we're projecting the maximum amount of revenue basically physically possible, given the number of fundraising days. And I wonder what your fallback plan would be if those fund drives don't come in quite as generously as, you know, as you're hoping.
Well, firstly, the last two, our last two fund drives actually did come in higher than we were predicting. One of them at $1.1 million. So that's part of the reason. But if they don't come out at that level, then yes, we will have to amend the expenses.
In general terms, do you have any, you know, sort of, what's the word, boilerplate description of what sort of expenses would be amended? Because obviously a $10,000 surplus isn't going to do it. So say if you had $70,000 less than you think you're going to have, you know, how would you deal with that?
I guess the first thing we would try to do is, there's another issue at play in this one nowadays, in that every couple of drives we end up doing a national day, which takes a day off our earnings capacity, so we need to extend our fund drive by that much. And that would be, I guess, the first thing we would do, depending on how much we are called upon to take part in national fundraising next year. I hope it's not like this year, because this has been a very difficult one for us with the issues surrounding the Pacifica Radio Archives and the non-performance of some of the other stations that are therefore not able to contribute. So I think, I don't want to increase fund drive days, but I'm realistic, and I would have to find places in the expenses lines to try and cut out some costs. For example, such things as shipping, which, as I said just before when Richard was talking, with the digital downloads doesn't cost us anything, and we've saved on that in this past year. But those are areas like there are not many things that are movable in the expenses of that budget, and obviously one of the key ones is staffing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Okay. all right. So going down a bit, I always find KPFK's major donor and donor predictions a little interesting because they go up and down and down and up. So I see that these donations are fairly conservative. It's, I don't know, $34,000, $42,000 altogether, which seems to be less than you're projecting for 2013 actuals.
Right.
Does that have to do with one-time gifts, or does that have to do with planning to send less direct mail? What's the reason for the figure discrepancy?
Well, I mean, I prefer to be conservative in that respect, but I think we will probably outdo that, and I think we will do more direct mailing. So it's and a campaign designed to hit particularly major donors in the past, and we've got a couple of major donors who have helped us out with capital expenses this year, just by taking care of a lot of the cost of those. And also, as I said earlier, I plan to run a major campaign asking people to consider putting KPFK in their wills, because that was a source of significant funding for us this year, too, with one request in particular.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm
okay.
A conservative, Tracy.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. This is a minor item. This is the only other item on income, line 5599, miscellaneous other income. I'm just wondering what it is.
What's the XL number, the row number?
3,600 is the number?
No, what's the XL row number?
Oh, sorry, line 20.
Okay, miscellaneous other income. That's all this stuff that just, you know, trickles in when we're not in fund drive, and that's mostly donations.
Okay.
But they're not related to fund drive activity. And again, it's a pretty conservative estimate too, I think.
Okay.
Thank you.
So without getting into specifics, I'm just going to turn to some of the expense items and just ask a question about personnel. So there's a significant increase in the health benefits, of course. We can't help that. So I think that's the primary impetus behind the increase in personnel. But you had mentioned reducing some positions, but yet the numbers for projected 2013, projected 2014 are pretty similar.
Yeah.
Within like $12,000. So what's being added as opposed to what's being subtracted just in terms of the dollar amount?
What's been added is the increases that are agreed to with SAG-AFTRA for the unionized staff.
Okay.
And also, and the benefits have gone up largely because we've got five more people working more than half time since some are recently renegotiated that last year, and now we've got five of our board ops are doing more than the required amount of hours during a week to get benefits. So that was quite a significant jump for us.
Mm-hmm. What's the percentage salary increase this year from SAG-AFTRA? Is it 2 or 3% or less?
Three. It's three.
What's the number? It's three. Okay.
Three. And that will happen again this coming financial year.
Okay. All right. Moving on. Local board election expenses. I mean, this is a tough one because nobody quite knows what's going to happen. So let me make the disclaimer. It's a little hard to budget for an unknown situation. But my guess is the way the station operates is you spend the money that you have on the bills that you have and you don't squirrel away the $22,000 from last year in a special bank account for collection expenses whenever they happen.
Yeah, that's right.
So I appreciate that there's $6,000, but obviously the election costs more than that. And my concern is that we sort of treat the election expenses consistently in each divisional budget, and for the Texas budget, which is approved, we rebudgeted for the entire election one more time. And I'm wondering whether
we didn't.
We're going to have a problem here. Yeah, we did.
Tracy, he put in, I think, $3,000 a month for 3 months.
No, what we took out, I believe, Jim, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that what we took out was their $10,000 allocation for sending board members to board meetings, which is a national budget item.
Right, but then what remained was, I think, $9,000. He had $3,000 budgeted for the first quarter, unless it was changed at the B&B level.
No, it wasn't changed. Texas's collection is, you know, a lot smaller than KPFA's in terms of the postage and printing expenses. You guys have, what, 18,000, 19,000 members. They have, I don't know, 7,000? So it's a smaller number.
Yeah, about 7,000. The thing that was changed in the budget was the budgeted amount for sending people to meetings.
Yeah, that's my memory.
And that was taken from the line item that it was on and put into the surplus so that it's still there if needed.
So
$9,000 is budgeted in the first 3 years.
Right. You guys have a budget of $22,000, and leaving aside the issue that the election in 2012 cost a lot more than that, which is a little bit beyond our scope right now, if you have twice the number of members, then your printing and postage expenses will be twice as expensive. So if KPFK reserves $9,000 or $10,000, then KPFK would need $18,000 or $20,000. You're a bigger station with more members. Okay, so leaving that aside, I think that may be a bit under budgeted and it may be an issue. Okay. All right, is there anything else before I shut up? Let's see.
Can I say something on the elections cost? Tracy?
Yeah, you can. Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, because I sent out a schedule of what the actual cost of the 2012 election. I don't know if everybody here on the I believe I sent it out also to the NFC, as well as some of the election cost committee members. For 2012, most of the stations billed, I mean, actually paid for about $50,000 of election costs that includes the Election Services Corporation share of the, you know, each station and the each local supervisors for the radio station. And for KPFK, I'm looking at about $52,000 of total cost for the 2012 election. So how is this budgeted in this, you know, whether we are going to have an election or mm-hmm. it could be postponed, where should this go? Should this go in the local election expense line item, right, 68 to 70?
Yeah, that's where probably something should go. We can talk a bit about the amount. It's a complex conversation because the amounts are way out of whack with previous elections and previous planning processes, and some of that probably wouldn't be repeated.
And there's some initiatives to reduce that by doing some alternative, procedures.
Yeah, I think people are anticipating an election conducted primarily by electronic voting, which would reduce the mailing and printing costs. My question about those figures, Raul, was do you know what portion of the 2012 election was covered from fiscal year 2012?
I believe since we hired the election supervisors around August, and so a couple of months, and they lasted through, I believe, January. So 2 months of the 6 months of the $22,000, let's say it was $25,000 that they have incurred for the local supervisors in your station, it should be about $8,000 of the $25,000 would have been paid under the 2012 fiscal year. And about $17,000 would be expense in 2013 together with the Election Services Corporation invoice of $26,000.
Okay. Before we let Bernard go, I'm just going to continue with a couple of other line item questions, and then we can move to a couple of other items. The election item is obviously on the table as one concern.
Okay.
I had a couple others, and I just want to get Bernard to take on it before he splits. Okay. Depreciation, line 6655 or 98 on Excel. Thank you for leaving it in there. I appreciate that. However, there's a reduction in the number, which I think is probably a result of some items falling off the depreciation schedule or some that maybe never should have been there in the first place. But I assume that number, Bernard, is based on something?
Yes, you missed what?
But I assume that the number is based on something, the $62,000 number that's in
there. Yeah. Anthony Iverola would have plugged that in. I think that you're right. It's probably that we've moved some stuff off the depreciation register. But I think it's according to him, it's realistic.
Okay. Raul, how does that look? Because I know that the National Office was dealing with depreciation schedules in the audit and reducing them so that items that were aged or non-existent weren't continuing to depreciate. Does that number look realistic to you?
That's correct. Based on the depreciation schedule module that we have at the National Office. What happened is some of the older equipment are fully depreciated and therefore will have a reduction in the depreciation expense. Now, if there are any additional purchases during the couple of years, the previous years, then that might also impact it upwards. So we have to look at the actual depreciation schedule. I don't have it handy right now, but we could double check it against that. I'm not sure if Bernard and his business manager had already done that, so I have to check that.
Okay. I don't think off the top of my head that the number looks wildly realistic, of course, although there is a new transmitter to take into account, but I was
correct.
Just wondering sort of what it was pegged to.
Correct.
Okay, two more questions, then I'll shut up. The first one is, it looks like there's a reduction on the news services, which is, reasonably substantial, from about $16,000 to $9,500.
Yep.
Does that have a reason?
That's because our contract with AT will come to an end, and we're not going to renew it.
Okay.
But we don't get value out of it now anyway, and we've got the City News Service is a better service for us.
Okay. And then the last item that I'm going to ask about, just to get some clarification, the direct mail cost for printing and postage, you're up substantially. And I'm assuming that's because you're planning to send more mail.
Yep, correct.